Harper Audio presents Mars and Venus on a Date by John Gray, Ph.D. In past generations, the challenge of dating was different. Men and women wanted a partner who could fulfill their basic needs for security and survival. Women looked for a strong man who could be a good provider. Men searched for a nurturing woman to make a home. This courting dynamic, which has been in place for thousands of years, has suddenly changed. The new challenge of dating is to find a partner who will not only be supportive of our physical needs for survival and security, but will support our emotional, mental, and spiritual needs as well. Today we want more from our relationships. Millions of men and women around the world are searching for a soulmate to experience lasting love, happiness, and romance. To find and recognize partners who can fulfill our needs for increased intimacy, good communication, and a great love life, we need to update our dating skills. Even if by good fortune you find a soulmate, without the right dating skills, you may not recognize him or her and get married. 18 years ago, I was lucky enough to meet my soulmate, but not skilled enough to make the relationship work. Bonnie and I dated for about a year and a half. Although we loved each other very much, we didn't get married. We broke up and went our separate ways. 4 years later, however, we got married. This time, because we dated differently, we eventually got married and lived together happily ever after. By creating the right conditions for love to grow, our hearts opened and we experienced a soul love, a love which loves no matter what. Ironically, discovering this unconditional love was the result of first creating the right conditions for love to grow. As a relationship counselor, I began sharing these new insights in counseling sessions and in my seminars. The results were dramatic and immediate. With this new understanding of how men and women think and feel differently, couples were able to improve communication and start getting what they wanted in their relationships. With renewed hope, they're able to feel a deeper love in their hearts, heal and release the old resentments that may have closed their hearts, and rekindle the fires of romance and passion. Encouraged by these practical benefits in my own marriage and in the lives of my clients and seminar participants, I went on to write Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, which has now sold more than 10 million copies worldwide, a bestseller in over 40 languages. It has helped men and women around the world. Repeatedly, singles and dating couples have raised questions which were not directly answered or dealt with in Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. In the process of finding practical answers to their questions over the last 12 years, the ideas, principles, and insights of Mars and Venus on a Date were formulated. This recording is directed for singles and dating couples who are interested in finding true and lasting love. Yet married couples will also find these principles and insights invaluable. No matter how good a relationship is, there's always room for growth. Married couples who are experiencing difficulty in their marriages may discover what's missing in their relationship. Quite often, they may have skipped one or two of the stages of dating, and this has affected their marriage adversely. By going back and going through the dating stages, many couples have reunited in love. The insights contained in this recording provide practical answers for the most common frustrations singles and dating couples experience. So often in our dating relationships, we misunderstand and misinterpret our partner's actions and reactions. With a correct understanding of our different ways of thinking and feeling, dating can be a source of joy, support, pleasure, and fulfillment, instead of a potential source of frustration, discouragement, worry, and embarrassment. Supported by this new approach, you'll find the motivation, skill, and confidence necessary to find the right person for you while you enjoy the dating process. No program can tell you if a person is right for you, but it can point you in the right direction. As with my other recordings, there are many generalizations about men and women. This does not imply that all men are one way and all women are another way. If you don't perfectly fit the generalizations, it doesn't mean something's wrong with you. But when you meet someone and his or her behavior is different from yours, then use your Mars and Venus on a date as a guide to help make sense of them. Some people may be tempted to keep this recording a secret. It definitely gives you an edge in knowing how to win over the opposite sex. But there's an even greater benefit in letting your partner know that you've listened to this. If you both agree with many of the principles and values, then you'll be able to trust each other right from the beginning. If the values in this recording resonate with who you are, and they don't resonate at all with a potential partner, it may be a clear sign that person is not right for you. But this is not always the case. The real test is by going through the 5 stages of dating and then seeing if you can get your needs met. Women commonly make the mistake of quoting authorities to change a man's behavior. Even if a man likes my message, it's still not a good idea to quote me. Particularly with men, a request for change is best heard when it's personal and based on what you feel is right for you and not what some authority says is right. An approach to motivate a man to listen to this recording is simply to ask him to do it as a favor to you. You should not imply that he needs it, but that you'd love to discuss it with him. The same suggestion could apply when a man is wanting a woman to listen to this recording as well. As you listen to Mars and Venus on a date, light bulbs will go off in your mind. Suddenly things that never made sense will start to make sense. This shift will help you prepare to find and meet your soulmate. When you can clearly understand your mistakes in the past in this new light, you'll not have to repeat them. You'll be released from past patterns and be free to create the relationship of your dreams. You'll discover that you do have the ability to find the right person for you. By successfully understanding and meeting the challenges of each of the 5 stages of dating, you too will find true and everlasting love. During my relationship seminars, single women often come up to me and describe in great detail what they thought was a wonderful date. If everything went so well, these women wonder, why didn't he want to pursue the relationship? Why didn't he call? Their questions about men often reveal a complete misunderstanding and misinterpretation of men. Women ask, why do men talk so much about themselves? Why don't men call back? Why don't men commit? Everything is great, but my partner doesn't want to get married, and I do. What can I do? A woman's questions tend to be centered around one thing. How do I secure a loving, lasting relationship? Women want to make sure that they can get what they need in a relationship. Men, on the other hand, want to make sure that they can be successful in a relationship. Their questions also reveal a misunderstanding and misinterpretation of women. Men ask, how do you know what a woman wants? Why can't a woman just say what she means? How do you know if she's the one? Things are fine now. Why rock the boat and get married? Although men and women's questions reflect a different orientation towards dating, they do have 2 things in common. Both men and women want their relationships to be loving, and they definitely don't understand each other. It might seem hopeless, but it's not. Once men and women learn how they approach dating and relationships differently, then they have the necessary information and insight to begin finding the answers to our questions. Without a deeper understanding of our differences, it's inevitable that we'll continue to misinterpret our dating partners and create unnecessary problems. When we misinterpret each other, it can cause us to unknowingly sabotage our relationships. A woman may mistakenly conclude that her date is just another man incapable of making a commitment and then give up. A man may think his date is another woman whose needs may smother him and take away his freedom. As a result, he loses interest. No matter how sincere you are, if your partner is misinterpreting your innocent and automatic reactions and responses, your attempts to create a relationship may be unsuccessful. It's not enough simply to be authentic in sharing yourself. To succeed in dating, you need to consider how you'll be interpreted as well. For this reason, there are times when you cannot just be yourself. Instead, you must hold back your initial gut reaction and measure your responses in ways that will communicate correctly where you're coming from. Making sense of the opposite sex frees us to make decisions and choices conducive to getting what we want, but in a way that works. To do this, it's essential that we have a deeper understanding of the different worlds we come from. Throughout Mars and Venus on a Date, we'll explore the 5 stages of dating. 1. Attraction. 2. Uncertainty. 3. Exclusivity. 4. Intimacy. And 5. Engagement. We'll explore the various questions that come up in each of these stages. With the fundamental insights of how men and women approach dating differently in each of these stages, you can then correctly interpret your partner and then choose to respond in ways that will not be misunderstood. In this way, you'll make use of every opportunity to create the relationship of your dreams. Finding the right person for you is like hitting the center of a target in archery. To aim and hit the center takes a lot of practice. Some people may hit the center right away, but most do not. In a similar way, most people date several people before finding the one for them. Imagine you aim for the target and you miss. Your shot is too far to the left. By simply acknowledging to yourself that you went too far to the left, your mind will automatically self-correct, and next time you'll shoot more to the right. Through a series of attempts, your mind will continue to self-correct, and you will eventually hit the target. It's the same in relationships. Each time you go out and discover this is the wrong person for you, your mind will self-correct, and next time you'll feel more attracted to someone who's closer to the right person for you. This correction is automatic if we're able to correctly interpret our partners. Quite often, single people ask, "How do you know if someone's right?" Well, if you ask someone who knows they're with the right person, they'll generally say something like this: "Well, I don't know exactly what to tell you. You just know." While this answer is true, it's also very misleading. It could imply that if you don't just know, then you're with the wrong person. And this is not necessarily true. The most accurate answer to this question is that you just know when you've created the right conditions to know. When your heart opens and you happen to be with the right person, then you know. If you open your heart and you happen to be with the wrong person, then you just know you're with the wrong person. Moving through the 5 stages of dating creates the right conditions for you to develop the ability to just know when the right person comes along. It also allows you to just know when you're with the wrong person as well. Once you're able to just know, then the easy part is to find or be found by the right person. Each decision you make will lead you closer to hitting the target. Many single people don't understand this basic truth. They become confused when they fall in love. They think that if you love someone, you should want to be together forever. If you break up, you mistakenly assume that you didn't really love him or her, and as a result, you feel betrayed. People don't realize that love is just not enough. In most cases, it takes both time and the progression of the 5 stages before you can recognize your true life partner or soulmate. Certainly there are games and manipulations to make someone love you and want to marry you. But if a person is not right for you, then you'll not necessarily live happily ever after. One of the reasons there's so much divorce today is because people don't move through the 5 stages. They rush through them or they skip a few stages. If we are to find a partner with whom our love and passion can grow, they must be very special. They must be picked out and recognized by our soul. A soulmate is someone who has the unique ability to bring out the best in us. They're not perfect, but they're perfect for us. Without good communication skills, they can also bring out the worst in us, and vice versa. We're not just physically turned on to that person, but our soul gets turned on as well. There are basically 4 kinds of chemistry between dating partners: physical, emotional, mental, and soul. Physical chemistry generates desire. Emotional chemistry generates affection. Mental chemistry creates interest. Soul chemistry creates love. A soulmate includes all four. The soul is that aspect of who we are that is most lasting. When the soul is attracted to someone and recognizes them to be a mate, then with that person, the physical, emotional, and mental chemistry can also be sustained because we experience a soul chemistry. Lasting physical attraction must find its source in our souls. Otherwise, it's temporary. On a soul level, you're the same throughout your life. The person who was a little child is the same person you are now. You are you all your life. The soul is that part of you that doesn't change. The way you physically look, the way you feel, the way you think about things, however, does change. The soul is who you are when you strip away the body, mind, and heart. Your soul has a potential that takes an entire lifetime to be fully realized. When couples are soulmates, when their souls recognize and love each other, and they're attracted to each other physically, emotionally, and mentally, then this love will last. It can continue to grow and become richer as the years pass. This does not mean that everything will flow easily and effortlessly. It simply means you have the potential to be successful. Marriage is a choice. You don't marry just any person you love. Instead, you first find love, and then you're capable of making the right choice. As we've already explored, the experience of real love for a person doesn't necessarily mean they're the one for you. The experience of real love does, however, connect us to our soul. And with this connection, we're then able to know what our soul wants to do. We're then able to let our soul make that choice. Choosing a soulmate is not a mental decision based upon the pros and cons of a relationship. It's not an emotional decision based on comparing how a person makes you feel. It's not a physical decision based on how a person looks. It's much deeper. When our soul wants to marry our partner, it feels like a promise we came into this world to keep. It feels as if we're supposed to be together, to share our lives. The first challenge in the process of dating is to give up searching for your soulmate and instead focus on preparing yourself so that you can recognize him or her when they appear. Most people find or are found by their soulmate when they're not really looking. When you are ready, your soulmate will appear. A big part of preparing ourselves is getting to know ourselves. Regardless of what age we are, as we begin to feel more independent and autonomous, we're not satisfied with just dating anyone who's attractive or nice or interesting to us. We want something more than just a good or a fun time together. We want a deeper and richer opportunity to experience intimacy. We want to know someone. We want to be fully known. Quite automatically, we begin to feel a need to explore what a loving, exclusive relationship could offer. Another important insight about soulmates is that they're never perfect. They don't fit your picture. They don't have everything on your list of ideal qualities. They come with baggage. They, like you, have good days and bad days. They definitely don't look the way you thought they'd look. They may have flaws that you don't like very much at all. They're not perfect. But on those days when your heart is open, you know they're perfect for you. The love you spontaneously feel for a soulmate is the foundation for learning to share your life with someone who in many ways is very different from you. Yet that love motivates you to cooperate, respect, appreciate, cherish, and admire that person. In that process, which is not always easy or comfortable, you become a better person. Your soul has a chance to grow. If you're the type who expects perfection, you'll never be satisfied with one person unless you are able to first open your heart. When we can't make up our minds about a person, the secret of success is to give the relationship a chance until you clearly just know. Then if they're the right person, you get engaged. If they're not, you break up. But next time, your ability to find the right person will dramatically increase. Ultimately, taking the time to get to know someone is the secret of success. The old saying, "To know him is to love him," applies to a soulmate. Moving through the five stages just ensures that you get an opportunity to know someone fully and experience the best of them before getting married. The alchemy of creating a loving relationship is a very delicate balance of give and take. The blending together of male and female must be done gradually and in stages. In stage one, attraction, quite often it's the anticipation that we can get what we want or need from a relationship that tends to sustain the attraction for a potential partner. Without a clear message that we can get what we need, the attraction will disappear. It can be so easy to misinterpret our date's actions and reactions and be turned off simply because we think and feel so differently. One of the biggest challenges in the beginning of a relationship is to sustain the feeling of attraction and give it a chance to grow as we get to know someone. To sustain attraction in stage one, we must express our best and most positive self. Without an understanding of the customs and manners on Venus, a man can put his best foot forward and unknowingly step on her foot. Most men just don't understand the way women feel and what they're looking for. When a man's interested in a woman, quite automatically he treats her the way he wants to be treated. In many cases, that's not what a woman will appreciate most. While trying to impress her, he inadvertently turns her off. To various degrees, most men are simply clueless when it comes to understanding women. For example, instead of taking the time to listen and get to know his date, a man talks about himself or his theories about life. He thinks this will impress her, and because she keeps asking questions, he thinks this is what she wants. When she does get a chance to talk, he mistakenly assumes that she's asking for his advice and begins offering solutions to solve her problems or answer her questions. Without even knowing why or how, he begins to turn her off. A man doesn't instinctively understand manners on Venus. In some ways, he's like a bull in a china shop, oblivious of the effect he's having. He doesn't realize that a woman will feel most supported and impressed when he listens with interest rather than talking about himself or giving advice. This small insight can make a world of difference. What makes dating difficult is not understanding the opposite sex. A man wonders if he should ask a woman for her number or not. He wonders how to get it. He wonders, is she attracted to him? Whenever a man does something to make a woman feel special, in her eyes, he becomes more attractive. In my seminars, many women have said that even if they were at first not attracted to a man, his interest in her makes him more attractive. If he takes the risk to ask her for her number, or he asks her out, sometimes she's inclined to say yes just because he took the risk. It makes her feel special, and she feels flattered. When a man pursues a woman without being dependent on getting anything else other than the pleasure of getting to know her, this makes him very attractive. A woman can sense if a man's ability to feel good about himself is dependent on her responses to his advances. If she has to care too much about his needs, if she has to be overly sensitive not to hurt his feelings, then he becomes less attractive. But when she's free not to worry about him, but simply enjoys him caring about her, then she becomes more attractive to him. Most men don't realize the incredible power they have to sweep a woman off her feet. The understanding of how we're different gives a man that power. Women also misunderstand men. They mistakenly assume that if a man is the right man for her, then he'll know what she wants, then he'll automatically consider her needs and do the things she does to show that she cares. When he doesn't fulfill this unrealistic expectation, then she becomes unnecessarily frustrated and discouraged. For example, a woman will make the mistake of demonstrating her interest by asking a man a lot of questions. As he talks, she continues to listen patiently. She assumes that if she just listens with great interest, that he'll be more interested in her. This is true on Venus, but not true on Mars. The more a man talks, the more interested he becomes in what he's talking about. For a man to become more interested in a woman, she needs to do more of the talking and authentically share herself in a positive manner. And how a woman talks can make a world of difference. On Venus, when two friends get together, they enjoy the opportunity to share freely the mishaps, frustrations, disappointments, and complaints of the week. A woman's willingness to share all is actually a compliment to the other woman. It is a sign of trust, goodwill, and friendship. While this gesture on Venus may be putting your best foot forward, on Mars, it's not. A man can easily get the wrong impression. When a woman dwells on negative feelings or problems in her life, instead of valuing her willingness to share openly, a man mistakenly assumes that she's difficult to please. Just as a woman is attracted to a man who shows interest in her, a man is attracted to a woman who clearly can be pleased. When she appears to be difficult to please, he may easily become turned off. To create the ideal opportunity for her to experience the best he has to offer, and for a man to experience her best, a woman needs to be careful to share the positive side of her life and avoid dwelling on negative experiences. Conversation should be light and not heavy, focused on current events in the world and in their lives, but discussed in a positive manner. This does not imply in any way that she should be fake. Authenticity is what makes anyone most attractive. Everyone has a positive and negative side. Everyone has ups and downs, and everyone has a needy side and an autonomous side. Putting her best foot forward means to share her most positive side, her upside, and her autonomous side. Later on, she can share the other part. It's just a matter of timing. To make the best impression and to get to know someone most effectively, it's important that we first get a chance to know the positive side. In the first three stages of dating, attraction, uncertainty, and exclusivity, it's best to focus on putting forth our best self. After getting to know our best sides, then in stage four, intimacy, we're ready to deal with the less positive sides of who we are. Women mistakenly assume that by giving a man the support she would want, he will become more interested in her. To put her best foot forward, a woman makes the mistake of treating a man the way she would want to be treated. She eagerly responds to his attentiveness by being overly interested in him. She responds to his consideration by being overly considerate of him. When he is of assistance to her, she immediately wants to return the favor instead of just smiling and saying thank you. A woman doesn't instinctively understand that after being receptive to a man's advances and appreciating his efforts, she doesn't owe him anything. She's already given him what he wants. She's given him the opportunity to know her, please her, and connect with her. A woman needs to remember that she is the special one. It is his pleasure to have the opportunity to be with her. When she does not hold this attitude, it makes it difficult for a man's attraction to grow. When a man is attracted to a woman, he gets excited because he anticipates that he can make her happy, and that in turn makes him feel really good. The anticipation of more is very important to keep him interested. If he feels completely satisfied, then there's no distance for him to continue traveling to pursue her. Distance not only makes the heart grow fonder, but it gives a man the opportunity to pursue. Without movement and the opportunity for more, a man can easily lose the interest necessary to move through all five stages of dating. When a woman feels attracted to a man, her feelings are very different. She gets excited because she anticipates that he could make her happy, and that in turn makes her feel really good. When someone is more special to us than others, automatically we move into stage two, uncertainty. When we begin to feel that this is someone I'd really like to get to know, someone I'd like to have an exclusive relationship with, then it's quite natural to suddenly doubt, is this the right person for me? It's quite natural to suddenly shift and not feel so sure. For some, that shift is like an earthquake, and for others, it's like a mild tremor. Sometimes the bigger the shift, or the more suddenly it occurs, it's a signal that this person has good potential. One could actually be dating their soulmate, but in stage two of dating, they may not even know it. Whether the person is right or wrong in stage two, the experience is uncertainty. Unfortunately, many singles do not recognize that this is a necessary stage, and they mistakenly assume that if they're not certain, then this must not be the right person for them. They think that if they found the right person, the gates of heaven should open and the bells should ring. When a man moves into stage two, he can easily make the mistake of thinking, if I'm not sure, then I should keep looking around and testing. He doesn't realize how this tendency can prevent him from ever finding the confidence that he's with the right person. Looking around and dating many women is fine for stage one, but in stage two, this very tendency is counterproductive. This is the time, temporarily, to stop dating others and start focusing his attention on his special partner. Stage one is the time to gain experience of other people. Stage two is the time to experiment with one. This is the time to make a decision to give a relationship a chance. In stage two, even if the grass on the other side of the fence begins to look greener, his new objective is to look deeper, dig a little deeper on his side of the fence, stop looking at the grass, and dig for the gold. He may or may not find it, but he'll never find it if he doesn't start digging. To dig deeper, he needs to ask himself these questions. Could I possibly be the right man for her? Could I possibly have what it takes to make her happy? Do I care for her? And most importantly, do I miss her when I'm away from her? When a man over time discovers an affirmative answer to each of these questions, then he's ready to move on to an exclusive relationship. When a man does not understand Venusians, he can make the mistake of thinking he can't make a woman happy. In reality, he may have the ability, but because he misinterprets the way she thinks and feels, he makes a faulty conclusion. For example, on a date while driving through an expensive neighborhood, a woman might say, "Oh, look at that beautiful house. I bet they have a swimming pool. Oh, I love swimming pools." She's simply sharing herself. But his reaction may be something like this. "Wow, this woman has expensive taste. I don't know if I could ever keep her happy." He mistakenly assumes that because the thought of a mansion and a swimming pool makes her happy, that he'll have to provide all that to make her happy. At this point, a man starts to think that she may be the wrong person for him. In stage two, it's very important for a man to do little things for a woman so he can repeatedly test and experience that he has the power to make her happy. Men bond with women through being successful in providing for her happiness, comfort, and fulfillment. His doubts are not dispelled by what she does, but primarily by how she responds to what he does for her. Traditionally, this is why men have been the ones who provide on a date. These little things that a man provides on a date gives him a chance to test the waters and see how much he likes making this woman happy. She also gets to taste how it feels to receive his support. In this way, he bonds with her, and she bonds best with him. In the next stage, stage three, exclusivity, after they've bonded, then she can begin sharing the expenses and doing little things for him as well. But still, on a romantic date, he should be the main provider. Without an understanding of these stages, some men get stuck in uncertainty. Instead of testing to see if he can make a woman happy and win her over, he begins to question if she can give him what he wants. When a man focuses on what he wants, he's sure to miss the perfect woman for him. But when he focuses on the question, "Am I the right man for her?" then he will find the clarity to move on to exclusivity or end the relationship and start again with someone else. When a woman moves into stage two and feels uncertain, she reacts differently from a man. While a man tends to question if he wants to pursue a relationship, a woman tends to question, where is the relationship going? Quite often, she senses the man pulling away. To find reassurance, she makes two common mistakes. She either starts asking questions about the relationship, or she may try to win him over. Both of these approaches can push him away or prevent him from feeling confident that he is the right guy for her. In the uncertainty stage, when a woman doesn't understand men, she can easily begin to panic. During the attraction stage, he was coming on so strong, and now he's not. If she doesn't understand the second stage of uncertainty, a host of feelings may arise. These are some common reactions. She thinks, did I do something wrong? Is there someone else? Does he still care? Will he call? When will he call? Did I miss his call? What can I do to regain his attention, his interest, his affection, his desire? Unfortunately, all of these questions lure her in the wrong direction. She begins to pursue him. When a man stops pursuing, a woman's task is to resist the enormous urge to find out what has happened or to do something about it. The stage of uncertainty for a woman should be a time to reflect on what she is getting from the man, not what she could get. This is a time for the woman to stay open to his future advances, but most importantly, it is a time to fill up her life with the support of friends. This is a time to test if he is really the right person for an exclusive relationship. It is in this stage that the old saying, distance makes the heart grow fonder, applies. If he pulls away, she should gracefully allow him his distance. A woman needs to remember that men are like rubber bands. They pull away. If you don't run after them, they will spring back. When he springs back a few times, he'll have the certainty that she is the one with whom he would like to pursue a steady or exclusive relationship. By giving the man the space to pull away and then once again become more interested, a woman also gets to know if this is the one with whom she would like to have an exclusive relationship. If she can fill up her life with the support of friends and family, and she still misses him, then it's a good sign. In the uncertainty stage, both men and women must be careful not to react to their partner's uncertainty by pursuing too much. A man who doesn't take this time to pull back can smother a woman by his insistent pursuit of her with promises of love. When a man comes on strong in stage one and then pulls back in stage two, some women feel a pressure to give back to him sexually. She hopes that by responding in a sexual manner and fulfilling his desires, that she will regain his interest. By giving more of herself than she's ready to give, she can actually sabotage a relationship. More is not always better. A woman needs to understand that by receiving and responding in a warm and friendly way to a man's romantic gestures, she's already giving back to him. This basic understanding is crucial, and women today are missing it. Quite often, a woman feels like she's not giving enough in return, and then she feels obligated to give more. When she senses that the man wants more, instead of just being flattered by his desires, she sabotages the dating ritual by feeling the pressure of obligation and gives in to being more physically intimate than is appropriate to the relationship. Instead of letting him continue to please her, she shifts to trying to please him. Inevitably, her position is compromised and he loses interest. Most men don't expect a woman to be physically intimate. They just hope to get lucky. They don't think, well, I paid for dinner, so she should have sex with me. Yet still, some women will refuse to let a man pay for dinner because they don't want him to get the wrong idea. This is not only insulting to him, but to herself as well. If she feels that a man is trying to buy her sexual favors, then why go out with him at all? It's innocent for a man to want to be physically intimate, and it's just as innocent for a woman to feel swept off her feet by a man's strong interest and passion. While most men only hope to get lucky, there are some who expect it. They've had sex with women who are just looking for a good time, and so they expect this from all women. They expect it because they see it on TV and in the movies. They see it in the magazines, and they assume that all women are just as fast as men. They're not. Without an understanding of what it takes to make a relationship work, it appears like fast sex is a heavenly antidote for a frustrated love life. Nothing could be further from the truth. By clearly understanding the wisdom of going slow and moving through the 5 stages of dating, both men and women will enjoy the dating process more and eventually find true love. When a man is used to fast women and then he meets a woman who wants to go slow, it's normal for him to grumble a bit. But if there's more than just physical chemistry between them, he'll respect her wishes and go slow. Instead of refusing to be receptive to all his advances, a woman should just politely and firmly say no to the sexual part if she's not ready. If he can respect her, then he is worthy of her. If he cannot and stays annoyed, then he's just not ready to be in a serious relationship, and she does herself and him a favor by rejecting him. A woman can say yes to various degrees of sex without having to go all the way. This is a very important insight, because to avoid intercourse, many women will not be physically affectionate or sexual at all. For a woman to feel comfortable being physically intimate, she needs to share a clear picture of how far she wants to go, and she must get a clear message from the man that he will respect how far she wants to go. To facilitate clear conversation with a man about sex, baseball examples can be very helpful. There are basically 4 degrees of sexual or physical intimacy. As in the game of baseball, each degree can be likened to getting on another base. Getting on first base has to do with kissing and affection. Second base is heavy petting. In this stage, they begin to stimulate their more erogenous zones. There are basically 3 zones of exploration. The first zone is from the neck and shoulders up, plus arms, hands, and feet. The second zone is from the waist up, and the third zone is from the waist down. Second base includes explorations in zones 1 and 2. Slowly they will begin to explore and touch each other. At first this exploration is done with clothes on, then with less, and then with nothing on. Third base is the full stimulation of their genitals without intercourse. It includes touching, caressing, and stimulating each other in all 3 zones. Although the man does not penetrate the woman through intercourse, they pleasure each other through mutual stimulation. They both eventually enjoy the orgasmic bliss of 2 souls uniting in love. Women commonly make the mistake of rushing to third base to satisfy the man because she can feel his longing and desire. This is a mistake. Ideally, before she gives him an orgasm, she needs to first be open and receptive to having her orgasm first. When she also feels her longing to have an orgasm, then by giving him an orgasm, she's not giving too much or going too far. In this sense, by listening to her own body, she can know how far to go. The 4th base, or home base, is intercourse. With a clear understanding of the 4 bases, a woman can definitely and accurately communicate to a man how far she's willing to go. This clarity allows her to move from feeling uncertain to getting more involved with a man.